You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last week, the federal government rejected a request from Idaho lawmakers for a Medicaid expansion waiver. According to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the state's application was rejected because it couldn't prove it would not add to the federal deficit. The waiver in question would provide an option for low-income Idahoans who qualify for Medicaid under the expansion to instead stay on the state's health insurance exchange, and it was endorsed by Republican leadership at the Statehouse. Joining us by telephone to talk about this is Idaho Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill. Thanks so much for joining us today, Senator.
Good morning, Gemma.
And a quick note, we should say that on Tuesday of this week, we did have some skeptics of the waiver application in Idaho on our program. And if you would like to listen to that side, go back and listen to that interview. Just go to our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. But getting on to this interview, Senator, for those who can't remember or don't know what this waiver is, can you quickly explain what it is and why you and other Republicans think that it's important after voters expanded Medicaid through an initiative last November?
You betcha. First of all, it's certainly not adverse to what the voters wanted. What we were trying to do was to give those who are beneficiaries of this a choice. And, you know, how people can criticize giving the consumer choice, I have a hard time with. They can go on Medicaid expansion as they want to. But, you know, there's some people that would rather in that gap between 100 to 138% of the poverty level, which already qualify for the state-based health insurance exchange and get advanced premium tax credits to help pay for that through the federal government. Some of them would rather stay on that. There are a number of reasons for that. And I guess everyone has their own reasons, but one is perhaps they want to stay with their own provider. And as you know, not all providers take Medicaid patients, because the reimbursement rates are lower than they are from private insurance companies. Private insurance coverage sometimes is better. It covers procedures that Medicaid would not cover because Medicaid has additional restrictions. And then there are those who just don't want to go on Medicaid as such. They would rather stay on private insurance. And even if it does cost them a little bit more, that could be their option. But again, it was an optional thing. Mm. So why the criticism comes along, I have a hard time understanding.
Well, and then when the news of the rejected waiver came in last week, you and other legislative leadership, along with Governor Brad Little, we should note, you issued a joint statement saying that the feds, and I'm quoting you here, pulled the rug out from underneath you. Can you talk about what you what you meant by that?
Well, that's a good question, too. The thing that was so surprising to us is we submitted everything exactly as the federal government required. We were in constant communication with them. In fact, they gave us compliments for the innovation and really indicated to us that this was an innovative approach. They liked the approach. They would do everything to get it approved. We hired consultants and actuaries to make sure the information was correct. And so when it came right up to the deadline, I mean, we're talking the day they were required to make a decision and give it to us, they come back with what they call an incomplete application, although they had helped us with it all along the way. And it was pulling the rug out from under our feet or catching us by complete surprise, certainly different than what the indications were that they'd been giving us all along through the last several weeks.
So we had Representative Melissa Wintrow on the program Tuesday talking about the other side of this, their point of view. And one thing that she noted was the money that was spent in trying to get this waiver passed. And you did just mention that about hiring individuals. And part of her argument was that was kind of wasted money. And why couldn't that go towards health care? What would be your response to that query?
Well, that's often an excuse or an argument that is made. It could be made with every dollar that is spent of public funds, if it's not exactly what you want it to be spent for. The issue was we wanted to give the consumer a choice. And that's all it was. And there are good reasons why someone would want to stay on the private insurance, getting the advanced premium tax credits, which were being provided. Again, I mentioned some of those just so that they could keep their own provider. You know, particularly those who have a health condition They may be getting treatments from their provider. They may be getting treatments that wouldn't be covered under Medicaid. And so it's important to give those people those options. Now, will most people take that option? Probably not. Most people in that category will probably opt to take the Medicaid expansion as such. But we thought it was important to give other people that option. And the cost of that, you know, was pretty insignificant when you're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars a year in the program itself.
We're speaking with Republican State Senator and Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill. We're talking about the federal rejection of a waiver for Medicaid. And if you are just now joining us, make sure to go back and listen to our interview with folks on the Democratic side about this issue. You can find that Tuesday interview on our Idaho Matters podcast. So, Senator, what's your next step then?
Well, again, it was not a complete rejection of our application. They came in. In fact, if it had been a rejection, we could have probably planned for it better. But they came in with a description that it was incomplete. Actually, we provided more information than they required. They wanted an analysis from 2020 for 10 years to compare with the expansion versus giving them the choice. We actually added 2019 because we thought it was important for them to see what it was costing under the current system before we expand Medicaid for those people who are receiving those advanced premium tax credits. What the cost of the federal government is, what it would be, to try to show that it was revenue neutral. They didn't want 2019 in there, so they asked us to take that out. So we'll make those adjustments. That was their largest thing. There are other very minor things, and so we will resubmit the application. And unfortunately, that delays the the solution, because we don't know what solution we've got to come up with until we get a complete rejection or an approval of the application.
And we should say that this waiver that was rejected last week, or as you said, they said was incomplete, isn't the only one the state will be applying for, because lawmakers also passed a bill to create a work requirement for folks on when Medicaid was passed. So that also needs to go through the federal process. So after this process, how confident are you with this next waiver?
Well, not confident at all, to tell you the truth. It feels like we can't count on the federal government to shoot straight with us here and help us to get those waivers, even though they indicated that they would. And so, it shakes our faith in a little bit, but we do have some good partners there that we're working with. We certainly have some good people at the state level that are pursuing these things, Department of Insurance, Department of Health and Welfare, and others. Certainly the work requirement is very modest compared to what other states have tried to do. And so we don't think that, it would be put in the same category with some of those other states. But we'll just have to wait and see. Just a reminder that the law says that the Medicaid expansion will go into effect regardless of what happens with the waivers. So if the waivers get denied, the Medicaid expansion will go forth exactly as the voters wanted it to.
You know, even if the work requirement waiver goes through on the federal level, and we should know that there's precedent in other states where similar laws have been struck down in the courts. So if that were to happen, would you think that all of your staff time, the hundreds of billable and taxable taxpayer-funded hours, do you think it would have been wasted if both of these waivers are rejected, even if they go through federally, but then a judge rejects them? You know, how would you feel about all of that time and money and, you know, just really manpower expense?
Well, obviously, we'd be very disappointed, but the point is, we thought we had a real good chance of getting these waivers. There were other states that were rejected on the work requirement, but their work requirement was much different than ours. Like I say, ours is very modest compared to theirs. Those had been rejected before we ever applied for our waiver, so we learned from the responses from the federal government what the problem areas were, and we tried to avoid those. So, if any program fails, regardless of what it is, whether it's in private business or in government, you feel like there was some time and money wasted in pursuing that program. In actuality, we learn from those things, and how can we sit back and say we didn't try to do that, which we sincerely felt was the right thing to do?
You know, there's an interim committee that is coming up with proposals, as you know. But how do you think the state should pay for our share of Medicaid expansion?
Well, that's a real good question, and I don't want to, get ahead of that interim committee, which is doing a lot of studying on the issue. However, there are some natural ways that will help pay for Medicaid expansion. One are the savings that we are going to receive, just through the Medicaid expansion at the state level. We've already identified those. There are savings in the Department of Corrections because we will have prisoners that the state has been paying 100% of their health care that would now qualify under the Medicaid expansion. We have mental health issues that the state has been paying 100% of through the Department of Health and Welfare, and our share would go down to 10% under the Medicaid expansion. And so there are some savings there. But one of the other big savings is, which this interim committee is looking at, is that the counties right now, we're using property taxes to pay for a lot of indigent health care for indigents, people who can't afford to pay those costs. Theoretically, with a Medicaid expansion, probably not all, but a large portion of that cost will go away, and the counties will realize a savings. And that's somewhere between $20 and $30 million a year that the counties dig up to do that. If the state's going to have to come up with money to expand Medicaid, it only seems logical that part of that money could come from the counties in the savings that they would realize. What we don't want to do is have the counties come out losers on this. Mm. We still want them to come out winners, but there will be some significant savings there, and part of that could be used to help pay for Medicaid. We got the Millennium Fund, which are the tobacco settlement funds that we have coming in. We've been using for programs to help with smoking cessation and different things like that. Some of those things might be trimmed back to help pay for Medicaid. And then you got the general growth in the Idaho's economy, and with all these federal dollars flowing in that go with the Medicaid expansion, hundreds of millions of dollars, that should help stimulate our economy and help pay for that as well. So it won't be one silver bullet. It'll be a combination of a lot of things, finding what we can here and what we can there in order to cover the bill.
Right, because you have to cover the bill come January. So
that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us today. Really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
I really appreciate your perspective on this. So thank you. Our guest today, Republican State Senator and Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill. Again, thank you so much for your time. And if you are, we really do appreciate it. And if you're interested in submitting a comment on the work requirement waiver, go to healthandwelfare.idaho.gov. Public comment will be accepted until September 22nd. Up next, do you know your public records law? We'll learn about a lawsuit challenging Ada County for alleged violations of Idaho's public records law. That's next. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.